chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Our text this morning will be verse 13 through 15. Genesis 4, verse 13 through 15. And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." The Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In the beginning, Cain and Abel. That's been the focus of this fourth chapter of Genesis. We have Eve bringing forth these two sons. They're growing to an age where they would have made sacrifices unto the Lord. Cain's sacrifice being rejected, Abel's sacrifice pleasing the Lord. We saw Cain, what we say, was God giving him a second chance, and his refusing that, his not doing that which was right, that he might be accepted, but his refusing that, getting more and more angry to the point where he slew his brother. A couple weeks ago, when we were in this chapter, we looked at what may have been described or could be described as the trial. God's calling Cain before him, God pronouncing him guilty, and God pronouncing judgment, and God's pronouncing a curse upon Cain for all the days of his life. And in our passage this morning, verse 13 through 15, we kind of have Cain's response. Cain's response to the judgment of God. Cain's response to what God has told him. The consequences of his great sin were going to be. And in verse number 13, Cain said unto the Lord. There's a communication going on here to some degree between God and Cain. God has pronounced his judgment and the consequences of Cain's sin upon him. And Cain responds to God, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Some people look at this word, punishment, and see a reference to sin, or it being a representation or another word for sin. And they say that what Cain is saying here is his sin was too great to find forgiveness. His sin was too great for him to get it dealt with, and I don't buy any of that. I believe Cain is unrepentant. Cain shows no remorse. Cain shows nothing but self-pity. Cain has nothing but the me, me, me attitude. And he doesn't like the consequence of his sin. He doesn't like the judgment of God pronounced upon him. And he declares, it's too much for me to bear. It's kind of like he's calling God unfair. Kind of like he's saying God is being mean. But he shows no repentance, no remorse, just self-pity. And that's the path many people take when sin gets into their life. When they get away from the Lord, they become cold and indifferent to the things of God, and they won't be restored, they won't get right, and they won't do right, they won't serve right. They just feel sorry for themselves. Me, me, me is all Cain could think about. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 about those who answer against God, to those who murmur against God. And certainly Cain is murmuring against God. He says in verse number 14, you have driven me out this day from the face of this earth. We know in the consequences and the judgment of God, he's made a vagabond, a traveler. He's made one who can never settle in one place. He's made one who must always be on the move. He must live his life, the rest of his life. Maybe I want to say hiding. When he gets comfortable in a certain place and gets known, he's going to have to move. God's made him a vagabond and a fugitive. The earth that was cursed by God in Adam's fall, that he brought and sacrificed before God and it was rejected. God curses Cain from the earth, meaning he can't ever take roots, can ever be content, can never be satisfied or a long-term dweller. Anybody, you've driven me out from the face of this earth. He says in verse number 14, you've driven me out from your face. And I think in the grand scheme of things and considering all of the scriptural record, the greatest punishment that can be inflicted upon anybody is being sent away from God, separated from God. Many times we describe hell by the fact that it is a place where people are sent to be separated from God forever. The worst punishment that can be inflicted upon an individual is this separation from God. And Cain says, you've delivered me, you've driven me out from the earth, and you've hidden me from your face. He's not going to have the communion with God that Adam and Eve had. He's not going to have the communion that Adam and Eve had, or his brother Abel had, even after they were cast out of the garden. Because I believe Cain represents a lost person to us. I think Cain is a sinner who's never going to be saved. And he is driven out from the presence of God. He's not going to be able to have fellowship, communion with God. He's not going to have the blessed privilege that others had known up to this hour. He says there, you've driven me from thy face. From thy face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And he says, woe is me. It'll come to pass that I'm going to be a hunted man. It'll come to pass that I'll have no place to take root. It'll come to pass where I'm separated from you. It'll come to pass where I can't take root anywhere. I'm going to be a hunted man. It's going to come to pass, everybody's going to be out to get me. Everybody's going to be out to kill me. And there's probably some truth to that consequence for his sin. Everyone that findeth me is going to want to slay me. And so the Lord's response in verse number 15, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Cain says, it's too much for me to bear. I'm going to be a wanted man, a hunted man. People will be seeking to kill me. So God says, I'll tell you what. Anybody who does harm against you, Cain, I will hold them responsible and I will hold them accountable sevenfold. Sevenfold more than typical vengeance or wrath or anger. I will pour out upon them sevenfold that which I would normally. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. There's a lot of different opinions on that mark. I won't get into them because some of them are just ridiculous and some of them are just racist and some of them just shouldn't be mentioned and be brought up. But God places a mark upon Cain to identify him. Not only does he say, anybody who harms you, I will bring vengeance upon them sevenfold, but he puts a mark upon Cain to identify him so nobody will make that mistake. So nobody will make that mistake. When they see Cain or they cross paths with Cain, they're going to see that mark and they're going to know who he is. They're going to know what he's done. They're going to know what God has said concerning him. And that's going to encourage them to leave him alone and not to mess with the judgment of God. So Cain says unto the Lord, my punishment is too great for me to bear. You've driven me out from the earth. You've driven me out from your face. I'll be a fugitive and a vagabond. Everybody's going to be out to kill me. And God says to him, I'll put a protection notice on you. I'll put a mark on you to identify you. And so Cain goes out to live the rest of his life under these circumstances. In verse 16 through 18, there's a few more pieces of information concerning Cain. Then the word of God kind of moves on from Cain and Abel to others. Somebody has said, and I like it very much, that Cain became a walking sermon. A walking sermon. I see in the consequences that God puts Cain under, brings upon him because of his sin, I come to the conclusion that there are worse forms of punishment than death. God could have killed Cain outright, been just in killing him outright, and it would have probably be in a degree merciful if God had just killed Cain as he requires later on in the book of Exodus when murder takes place. God requires an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, life for life. The death of anybody who kills and takes the life of another. But God doesn't kill, doesn't slay, doesn't destroy Cain. There's a worse punishment than death. He leaves him here. He leaves him here to be a witness. He leaves him here to reap what he has sown. He leaves him here to live the remaining days of his life under this curse, under the consequences. He becomes a walking sermon. Everywhere he went, he would be known, he would be identified, he would be seen, it would be understood. That's the guy who killed his brother. That's the guy who wouldn't offer an acceptable sacrifice before God. That's the guy that God drove out. That's the guy God has cursed. That's the guy God has put a mark upon so nobody kills him. That's the guy who's done these terrible, wicked things and would not get right and would not repent, would not seek to be right with God. He's a walking sermon. Everywhere he goes, he's seen. The circumstances of his life are read and understood. Many times, people become walking sermons. I wonder if there's any among us this morning who are walking sermons. Who've heard about salvation, who've heard about the grace of God, who've heard about the need, the necessity of pleasing God, being found in repenting and believing, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I wonder how many walking sermons do we have among us today who've heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ, who've heard the message of those songs we just sung, Jesus saves and redeemed and he included me. How many walking sermons here this morning have heard these things, and yet they continue in their sin. And when people look upon you, they see there goes so-and-so, continuing in their sin, continuing to accept Jesus Christ, continuing to become a child of God. Are you known that way? Are you known as one who has heard about the blessed salvation? Are you one that's been told to repent and believe, but you refuse and you continue? I don't think Cain enjoyed being known as he spent the rest of his life being known. And if you're one of those who's a walking sermon who has rejected Jesus Christ and still to this very hour not received Jesus Christ, I pray God will make you miserable. I pray before it's too late, as it eventually became too late for Cain, I pray that God would convict you of your sins, bring you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're one of those like Cain who's a walking sermon, I pray you don't spend all your life that way. I pray that you don't end your days as that kind of an example. Because Cain would have gone off forever lost. This separation from God that he was experienced during the remaining of his life, when he died, he would have gone off into eternity experiencing that separation. If you're here and your life is a living sermon to the rejection of Jesus Christ, if you die before you get right with God, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. And like I said a little while ago, hell is a place of suffering. Hell is a place of torment. We're seeing in the book of Revelation now, at the great white throne judgment, that hell is real. And all of the lost are going to be judged by the Lord at the great white throne and cast into the lake of fire. We're looking at the fact that hell is real. But the worst part of hell, I believe, is what I said a moment ago, is eternal separation from God. If you're here this morning And you, like Cain, are a living sermon, a walking sermon, giving testimony to one who has rejected God, rejected salvation, refused to get right, refused to repent and believe. I pray God will save your soul before that becomes your eternal lot. Because we're not playing games here. This is eternity we're talking about. You die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It matters not why you refuse Christ. It matters not what pride or arrogance or what excuse or who you lifted up as an excuse. It matters not why you continue in your unbelief. You die without the Lord Jesus Christ. You die as that walking sermon that Cain was, and you spend eternity walking a walk of separation from God. In eternity, I've heard it put this way in song, and it's probably not the best way to put it, but it makes good sense. Eternity, or forever, is a long, long time. So long it doesn't end. Don't continue being a walking sermon. He's cursed to live the rest of his life separated from God, and ultimately to go off into eternity separated from God. He was a walking sermon all the days of his life. We see in this record concerning Cain and these three verses we're looking at that sin had brought a hindrance. Sin had brought a hindrance upon Cain's life. Cain spent the rest of his life spinning his wheels. You remember that old saying, spinning your wheels? Most of the guys here know what spinning your wheels is all about. It's a good thing. It's when you break the tires free and they start spinning and they start smoking and you feel really big and manly. Ooh, ooh, you really feel you're something. But you know what happens when you're spinning your wheels? You're not getting anywhere. You're not getting anywhere. And Cain is cursed to live the rest of his life under the hindrances and under the restrictions and under the consequences of sin. He was going to spend all of his days remaining spinning his wheels but not getting anywhere. That's the way sin always works. And God's people would be good to learn that lesson. Sin hinders. Sin restricts. Tolerated sin. Allowed sin. Embraced sin. Sin allowed into our lives will place us under the hindrance and the restriction that Cain found himself under. Sin can take a child of God. And when they won't repent, they won't confess, and they won't get right, sin will cause the rest of their lives and all the days of their life to be restricted. Do you feel like that this morning? You just can't get anywhere? You feel like you're spinning your wheels and you're not making any progress? Could it be a sin problem? Could be. I believe God calls us to evaluate. God calls us to examine all the situations that come into our life. And if we just don't feel like we're making any progress, we just don't feel like we're getting anywhere, we just don't have nothing to show for life, could it be a sin problem? Well, you know what the solution to a sin problem is? God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, we repent of our sins. Instead of following the example of Cain, we fall before God and we confess our sins and lay them out there and ask Him to forgive us. He's going to forgive us. And that restriction and that hindrance of our life is going to be gone. And we'll be fruitful. We'll be blessed. We'll be prosperous. The health and wealth preachers and gospel that's preached in the world today, they won't talk about sin. They'll talk about name it and claim it, and they'll talk about seeds and giving seeds and donating money and God's prospering you. What I'll tell you today is what the Bible tells you. If there's a hindrance working in your life and there's something restricting your life from progress and the Lord's blessing you, it is most likely a sin problem. And nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to flip you to being able to say you're living prosperous. But repentance and getting that right with God. You're never going to feel better. You're never going to progress. You're never going to feel prosperity. You're never going to feel like you're getting anywhere as long as there's sin in your life that hasn't been dealt with. And that applies to God's people. All of our sins were placed upon Christ, and Christ died for all of our sins, and all of our sins are forgiven. But we're still required by God, when we sin, after we've been saved, we're still required by God to confess, to repent, to ask His forgiveness, to have Him forgive us. Every once in a while, we need Jesus to come and wash our feet. We're saved. We don't need a new bath or a new cleansing. But what Jesus was teaching with the washing of the disciples' feet was, as we go through this life, many times the dust and the filth of this world clings to us. You want to get rid of that problem? Repent. Confess. Ask Jesus to come and cleanse your feet. Cleanse your feet. Cain's problem in much of this passage of Scripture is the fact that he regretted the consequences. His complaint was against the consequences of his sin, not the guilt of his sin. Not the guilt of his sin. God's people, we're talking about God's people now, they want to live lives of disobedience, rebellion. They want to live lives wandering from the Lord, and then they want to feel sorry for the consequences it brings upon their life. And they want everybody else to feel sorry for the consequences it brings upon their lives. Folks, it's not about regretting the consequences. It's regretting the sin in our life. It's regretting the guilt that sin brings into our life. You sin and your life gets full of sin and God brings judgment A or judgment B upon you. Don't get all upset because judgment A or judgment B is placed upon you. Get upset about the sin that's in your life. Don't get upset about the consequence. Get upset about the guilt that you feel. That's never going to go away until you go before the Lord like Cain refused to. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is too great. You have driven me out from the face of this earth. You have driven me out from your face. I'm a fugitive and a vagabond. God says, I'm going to place you under a curse. I'm going to place you under a warning and a forbidding that any harm you I'm going to make you a marked man. Cain spent the rest of his life as a walking sermon. And my comprehension of the situation with Cain is there was no remedy. The remedy had already been offered earlier in this chapter, and he refused that remedy. He was doomed to spend the rest of his life separated from God, eternally to be separated from God. But if you're here and you're a walking sermon, I have good news. Praise God, as long as you're alive, as long as you have breath, as long as the message is shouted out, Jesus saves, you can be saved today. It's not gone so far. As long as there is breath in your body, you have opportunity. You have opportunity this morning. You have opportunity to stop being a walking sermon like Cain was. Become a child of God and have a different testimony and a different kind of a walking sermon. There were those who the Bible speaks of who made it evident that they had been with Jesus. When you're saved by the grace of God, you stop being a walking sermon and you start being a divine example of somebody who's been with Jesus. And you say, Jesus saves. You say, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You say, he included me. He had the hindrance of sin placed upon his life. It was going to be there forever. The good news, if you're here and sin has brought an obstacle and sin has brought a hindrance upon your life, sin is causing a restriction from really experiencing the blessing of God. Again, the good news this morning is you still have opportunity. You still have opportunity to stop spinning your wheels and start getting somewhere for the Lord. Question is, will you? What are you going to do about it? Cain teaches us, it does us no good to complain about the circumstances of our life when we justly deserve them. What instead we need to do is bring our guilt and bring our sin before God. Instead of feeling sorry for ourselves or justified in feeling sorry for ourselves, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Let's stand together and have a verse of song.